Good morning. We learned last week that when you hire a worker, if you simply make a verbal commitment, you offer him the job, he accepts the job. If either party backs out, they have tarumos. Even if the price changed, even if something changed, in a case where there would not be mechusar amana, there's a special chumra by a worker. And while you can't do anything, there's no financial penalty, there will be tarumos. The moment the worker begins the job, and the Gemara says, even if he shows up to the job, Haschalos Malacha Holchu is, according to most Rishonim, a Kenyan, and the moment the job began, you are locked in, and you cannot fire him. We discussed last week what the term is, if you hire him for a year, if you hire a teacher for a school year, so they're locked in, the employer is locked in for the entire year, and cannot fire the teacher in the middle of the year unless there's cause. That's a sugya that we'll get to in a future share. Now, what happens in a case where you hire a worker, you hire them for the year, you're hiring them for 6 months, and you go ahead and you fire them, shaloi kedin? You did it after the fact. How much is this worker entitled to get paid? So on one hand, you hire the worker. You agreed to pay him $1,000 a week. So that's your obligation to him. On the other hand, the $1,000 a week was for him to show up at the office and stay there 9 to 5 and for him to work. Since you fired him, he had a vacation. He stayed home. So how much do you have to pay? So the first halacha is that your chiyuv to pay is only when he stays unemployed. You fired him, he can't find another job, so since you hired him, you had a contract, he started the job, there's a Kenyan, you're responsible to pay him. However, if he finds another job, he's gotten paid regardless, you have no chiyuv to him, he cannot double dip. Now, not only is this true if he finds another job, if there were jobs available and he decides, listen, you know, I have... Why should I work? I have this, my other employer had no right to fire me. I'm going to sue him. I'll bring him to Bez and he's going to have to pay me. The halacha is, as long as jobs were available, he has absolutely no claim against the employer. Didn't cause a loss. He could have found another job and there won't be any chiyuv. Excuse me? Yeah, so like this. If there is a job available, but it's a lower paying job, then he would have to take the job, and the employer would have to pay the difference. But he would have to take the job, or whatever job is available. Now, interestingly, there's a halacha that what happens if that specific, and this we had, there was a case that came up this week. Someone hired a person to do marketing. It was for a certain adult daycare center. And the day they started the job, the director resigned. The director resigned, so the place is in turmoil. And they were busy treading water, trying to keep things together. But there was no room to do any marketing. They couldn't bring in any other people to show them the place. They couldn't bring in new people. Everything was on hold. So there's nothing for the worker to do. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is, at least what we have until now, you have to pay. You offer them a job, you have to pay them. Now, there is a halacha, a concept of an oinus, that we'll get to in a future shiur, but assuming it wasn't an oinus, assuming the owners knew that this was going to happen, they have to pay the salary. So what did they do? What they told the worker is, listen, we have no marketing for you to do for this facility, but we happen to have a real estate business on the side, and we happen to be short, we can use someone else in the office. So until we get our act together for this facility that we hired you for, go to the other division and help out. So the halacha is, as long as the job that you're asking them to do is the equivalent or an easier job, you have every right to insist that they help. And if the worker refuses, you have no further obligation to them. You promised them a job, you're offering them a job, it may not be the exact same, but the halacha is if they decline to help out, if they decline to work, you don't have to pay them. Now, there's an interesting machlokes mechaber and Rama. What happens if the job that you're going to offer them is more difficult than the original job? So the Mechaber says, if it's more difficult, nothing doing. The worker can say, you hired me to do this job, I'm not interested in working harder, and therefore, I want my full pay. The Ramah argues. The Ramah says, as long as you're willing to compensate them for that extra work, you can force them to do the harder job. And if they don't want to accept the harder job with the additional compensation, Ramah says you have no further obligation to them. You pay them for the time they worked, and after that you can send them home. And the Chazanish points out that this does not mean you hire an attorney to do a job for you, then you decide to back out. So you tell the attorney, listen, I have no more legal work for you, but our cleaning lady just quit. Come and work there. Zag the Chazanish, that's a davar pashut, that if you're dealing with a job which is harder or just more, you know, a demeaning job where the person would not have taken it, that everyone agrees you can't switch them to such a job. The case is you're hiring a laborer. You go to Route 59, you pick up a laborer. Sometimes you hire them to dig ditches, to do gardening work, which is hard work. Sometimes you hire them to paint the house, easier jobs. So if you hire them to paint the house and then you switch in the middle, there the halacha is, since we can assume that had you offered them originally the harder job at better pay, they would have taken it. So now that you're backing out, you can also switch them to this harder job with better pay. But if it's something which in the morning they would not have taken such a job, they're attorneys, they don't do cleaning. And in such a case, kuliyama loy pligi, that you cannot switch them to such a job, and you would have to pay them. So now let's go back to the question. You hired someone to do the job, you're backing out in the middle, the halacha is you have to pay them. How much do you pay? So here the halacha is that we have to take into account the fact that the person didn't work. They had a vacation. Now, so the halacha is you pay them kapoil batel. And what that means is, if you go over to a worker that's making $2,000 a week, and you tell him, listen, you can either show up to work and get paid $2,000 a week, or take a sabbatical, stay at home, join a koil, and I'll give you $1,000 a week. Many workers would take it. Now, again, everyone has their own price, everyone has their own dollar amount, but schar batala means how much a worker in this industry would take to stay at home and not to work. The Taz says the number is a half. That typically a normal worker would take, if you offer him half his salary to stay home, he would accept it. According to most places, it's really subjective. We have to look at the industry. If you're dealing with someone who's earning a few hundred thousand dollars a year, so he'll take a very large pay cut to take to not to have to work. He can afford to do it. On the other hand, if we're dealing with a laborer who's getting paid $30,000 a year and not making ends meet, so, you know, you tell him, stay home, I'll give you 10% less, he's going to say, I'm going to starve. He can't afford to take a pay cut. So you're going to have to look at both how much the person's getting paid and also how enjoyable the job is. The Rishonim say that a Malamed, if you have a Rebbe, you tell a Rebbe to stay home and I'm going to cut your salary. So the assumption over there is a Rebbe doesn't want to stay home. He enjoys learning. If he doesn't teach the Talmidim, he's going to start forgetting what he knows. And therefore, the assumption is, for a Malamed, he'd rather work, and therefore the Schar Batala is going to be the full amount. Now, the Ramah points out, it seems there are always a couple of rotten apples, that if you see this particular Rebbe is burnt out, and he doesn't like teaching anymore, and he'd be very happy to stay home, then you don't pay him the full salary. You have to look at each case. But you have to take into account when you're dealing with schar batala, when you're backing out and now the person is staying at home, you don't pay him the full salary. You make adjustments for the fact that he's not actually working.
It seems that today most workers need that salary any more than any other manager in the week. So for all intents and purposes, it sounds like today's schar batala would be effectively 100% of whatever.
Pretty close. It's generally not 100% because most people, for 90%, would rather their time has some value. And whether it's 90% or 80% or 70%, there is a number, but you're right. Most, you know, there are very few people that can afford to take off, you know, have the luxury of taking off for their jobs at half the pay, and therefore, an echrami. That's correct. If you're dealing with someone who it's for one day, people will be quicker to take a day's vacation at half the pay. If you're dealing with a year and there's no other job on the horizon, you're right. Most people can't afford to take a very large percentage.
Would that preclude somebody from doing any work at all? In other words, let's say a person, he's right, most people can't afford to take a break now, but they figure if they take, let's say, a 20% cut, they could probably earn a couple of dollars selling tchotchkes on eBay. In other words, they may not be able to get a full-time job. They got things I can learn for 8 hours a day. At night, I'll find something to do and earn a few dollars.
It wouldn't change it. It's not like a halacha that like you earn $1, you're thrown off unemployment. Even if you take a part-time job that earns less than what you had been offered, your original employer has to make up for that difference. So this is just, you know, it doesn't matter which way you call it, it'll end up being the same. That what will be worth it for you with that other job will end up being, you know, the equivalent amount. Now, there was a story. There was a rebbe that hired a worker. It was a few workers. He hired them to do a specific job, and then in the middle of the day, something changed, and he said, "You know what? I don't have anything for you to do, so you can go home." The workers went to him and said, "Rebbe, what do you mean? The halacha is, once we started the job, if you want to fire us, you have to pay us for our time." So the rebbe says, "You're right. You're taka right. So I'll tell you what. Go into the Beis Medrash, and since I'm paying you anyway, I want you to learn the daf. Go learn a couple of blocks of Gemara, and you're working for me that way." Fine, go into the Beis Medrash. A few hours later, the Rebbe comes in, and he sees one of the workers is fast asleep, the other one is having a coffee, and the third one's hopping a schmooze. He tells him, "Listen, the halacha is, once you started the job, I can't fire you. But if I give you an equivalent job to do, you have to do it. I hired you to learn. I see you're not learning. So since I hired you, I gave you another job and you didn't do it, I'm Potter." And he sent them home. So the Pesach Chayshin says, you have to look at the case. These workers, if they dropped out of high school, they're ADD and they can't focus on a Gemara for more than 10 minutes. And Echnami, it could be this goes like the Chazonish. It's something which they could, it's a job they couldn't have accepted, that you'd be Potter. Yeah, so you'd be Chayiv anyway. So he says, it could be if you told them to go into Beis Medrash and say Kapitel Tehillim, that Mistama anyone can do. But if you're telling them to learn, even though it should be easier, but if the fact of the matter is, for them, it's something they would not have taken this job, they're not capable of doing it, L'chayr, this would not be an excuse, and you'd still be responsible to pay completely. Now, this is all we've been talking until now about firing a worker. And the way we described it, that once a worker begins a job, you're locked in. The same way when you lease a car, you can't change your mind 3 months into the lease and say you want more horsepower, you want a better car. You're locked in. You have to pay for it. What about the reverse? What happens if a worker decides he had enough and they'd like to quit? So, if our mashal is correct, the same way when you lease a car, the person who has the car can't change his mind and just trade it in whenever he wants, the owner who rented it out also is locked in. It's a two-way street. It's like the kinyanim usually work both ways. So based on this, it should come out that the moment a person begins a job, he should have absolutely no right to quit or to resign. So here the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia and Daf Yud that we had this morning, the Gemara says that Enochanami, really, conceptually, a koyel, once he starts a job, there's some level of a kinyan. What the Gemara says is, V'amarav, poyel yochel lachzer boy, afil b'chatzi ayoyim. Rav Paskins, a worker can quit in middle of a day. In middle of the job, he had enough, he can quit, he can go back home. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that While the poyel is working, while he's doing his job, he has yad bala bayis. There's a certain level of kinyan to he has an obligation to the worker. Ki hadr beitayim achrinahu. The reason why Rav says you're allowed to quit is a completely different reason. Diksiv kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. The pasuk tells us, Kadosh Baruch Hu says kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. Klal Yisrael avdei Hashem. Avodayim, they're my avadim. They're Kadosh Baruch Hu's avadim. V'loy avadim la'avadim. They're not slaves of slaves. And therefore, the halacha is, if the halacha would be that when you take a job, you are locked in, you cannot resign, so to a certain extent, you're a slave. You're a slave. Therefore, we learn from the pasuk of Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, avadayim, that a poyel is not locked in and a poyel can quit. So it comes out, this kinyan is very one-sided. When you hire someone for a term, the moment he begins the job, the employer is locked in and cannot fire him. But the employee, because of this pasuk of Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, can quit at any time. So it comes out that when there is a term, when you hire someone for a specific amount of time, that is, it's primarily for the worker's benefit. Because if the worker wants to back out, he can back out regardless. But the longer the term is, the longer the employer's commitment will be. Now again, we'll get to, there are actually certain benefits the employer has also by a longer time. We'll get to that later. But primarily, the main advantage is for the worker. Because regardless, if he wants to back out, he can back out. Now here we have a few interesting halachas. What happens if there are two partners? They're two partners. They're both active in the business. And together they're running a company. One of them decides, that's it, he had enough, he wants to retire. So what's the halach? So, we have our Gemara. The Gemara says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Whenever a worker wants to quit, he can say, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, I'm not an eved to an eved, I have the right to back out. Zok esma, when you have two partners who are working in a business, who is whose slave? If each partner is the other partner's slave, that means you're basically your slave's slave, which doesn't make sense. Because if you're his master, you're his slave, he's your slave. So how can it be that you're each other's slaves and each other's master? It doesn't make sense. Zok d'sma, when you have two partners, neither of them are considered avadim. And therefore, this halacha will not apply to a partnership. If you have two partners and they made a commitment for a specific amount of time, the halacha is they cannot back out. They're not considered avadim, and therefore the pasuk will not apply to them. Zok d'shar mishpat. What would be in the following case? You have an investor. He opens up a company. He finds two people who are going to be actively managing the business, and he puts up all the money. And these people, they have a responsibility. They have to be 9 to 5. They have to be in the office every day, and they're going to split the profits. What happens if one of them wants to retire? Zok d'shar mishpat. If one of the working partners wants to retire, his co-worker can tell him, nothing doing. You have an obligation to work for me. And Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim doesn't apply because you're not my slave any more than I'm your slave. And therefore, I can force you to work. However, what happens if they both want to retire? Then they go over to the investor. As far as the investor is concerned, they're both working for the investor. The investor's not working for them. He just put up the money. He's not actively involved. So if they both want to retire, so for them, as far as the investor is concerned, they are like avadim to the investor. Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim will apply, and together they can quit. But if only one of them wants to quit, then the other one can stop them, because the other one can say, your obligation to me has nothing to do with avdus, and I can force you to go ahead and to continue working. Now, there's a major machloikis achroin.
So in that case, the other co-working partner doesn't want to put up a fight about it. He says he's part of it, so the other investor can't put up a fight.
Exactly. If the co-worker is okay and doesn't mind, he's not holding him to it, the investor cannot force him to work, because as far as the investor is concerned, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim would apply.
But the investor is not considered an three-day partnership equally, they all got on the same level of non-obvious to each other?
No. They may, in profit sharing, they may be a third, a third, a third. But as far as you wonder what their obligations are, these two people have an obligation to manage the company. And therefore, together, collectively, they are like avodim to the investor. The investor does absolutely nothing. He just sits back and watches his bank account get fatter and fatter. He put up the money, and that's it. So he's not their evid. He's not working for them. And therefore, Kili Bnei Yisrael would apply as far as that particular relationship. Now, there's a tremendous machlokes achronim how to understand this drasha of Kili Bnei Yisrael avodim. And there are going to be some fascinating nachminas lahalacha based on how we understand it. One way of understanding it is, which is really the way I said it over before, is that when you hire a worker, it's like renting a car. There's a kinyan. Kinyanim should work both ways. The employer should be locked in, the employee should be locked in, no one should have any out. On that, the pasuk tells, comes along and says, no. Kili bnei Yisrael avodim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, this is not going to work. Klal Yisrael has to be free, and therefore, although you made a kinyan, although you should be locked in, Kili bnei Yisrael is an escape. We're going to allow you to breach this contract, we're going to allow you to escape from this kinyan, because the Torah is makbid, we want a yid not to be locked in, we want him to have the ability to back out. That's one way of understanding. Now, if that were true, what would happen? There was a case in Lakewood, there was a company that was hiring, it was an office, and they had very high turnover. They were hiring ladies to work, and they would come in, they would get married, and a year or two later, they would drop out. So the company realized they were putting a tremendous amount of effort training these workers, and then after a year or two, they were gone. So they started writing in the contract that anyone who accepts a job is obligating themselves not to leave before, I think it was 30 months. You have to commit 2.5 years no matter what. You get married, this, that, you're going to come, you're going to work for us. Does such a kinyan help? So the way we just explained Kili Bnei Yisrael, really every worker, the moment he starts the job, is a kinyan. And the moment he starts the job, you should be locked in. The Torah comes along and says, no, Kili Bnei Yisrael avodim, we're going to override the kinyan, we're going to let you back out. If that's the pshat, then making a contract, making another kinyan doesn't help. You already have a kinyan. Torah says, even when there's a kinyan, you have the right to back out. And therefore, based on this understanding, and this is the way the Shach paskins, no matter what you do, you're making a kinyan, you make a contract, you'll always be able to back out, you'll always be able to leave. You can call it that. Others argue. There's a Ritva, which is quoted by the Beis Yosef, that says a kinyan will help. Why? So the way to understand the Ritva is, and this is based on a Tshuvas Maimini and Siman Lamed Aleph and Kinyonim, what they learn is like this. The Torah is not saying that there's like an Isser of Kili Bnei Yisrael Avodim. The Torah is making a statement of fact. Kili Bnei Yisrael Avodim. Now, the fact of the matter is, most of Klal Yisrael have jobs. Baruch Hashem. Today, I don't know, but usually people have jobs. If the relationship between an employer and employee was such that when you have a job, you're locked in, you can't leave, then the statement of Kli Bnei Yisrael Avodim wouldn't be true. Because it would mean most people are Avodim to other people. There's a certain level of Avdus. Obviously, it's not a true Avdus, but there's some level you're Meshuvah to other people. And therefore, this pasuk is a gilui milsa, that when you hire a worker, the relationship is not a kinyan. Slavery is, there's a parasha of Eved Ivri. A worker is not an Eved Ivri. And therefore, the relationship is such where if the worker wants to leave, he can leave. Some people learn like that. Other people learn it's a kal v'chomer. Even in Eved Ivri, the halacha is if he returns the money that he accepted, he goes free. So Kolshkein, a worker that says, just don't pay me, he also goes free. As even by Avdus, we see, by giving back the money, there's an escape. Now, if you learn like one of these pshatim, so then the Torah is not saying, we're makbid, that even if you make a kinyan, you have to let the person leave. It's simply a statement of fact that a normal relationship between an employer and employee is such, you can walk away. If that's the case, If you go ahead and you specifically make a kinyan and say, I am locking you in, I am making a commitment, I will not leave, the kinyan will help. And the Ritva and many other achroinim pass them like this. Now it is at the end of the day, the Pisrei Tshuva seems to be noitza that you could, if someone makes a kinyan, you could force them to work. It is a machlokes, it is hard to actually force someone to work because of the other shitas. But, you know, clearly if there are other tsarufim, there are many shitas that say a kinyan will be effective. Okay, excellent. Now, if by quitting you're going to cause a loss, that is going to be a shiloh of a davar oven and garmi, and that we're going to have to discuss either next week or in 2 weeks. That's going to be a completely different halacha. What we're discussing here is if you had enough, you want to quit. Most workers are replaceable. It may not be pleasant. It may take a few days to get the office back on track, but eventually they'll find someone else who will be able to do your work. But again, and achrami, if you are an accountant and April 15th you decide avadaihem, you'd like to retire, and achrami, that will be a davar avod, and that you'll be able to stop. Those halachos we'll get to later. The discussion here is there's no loss; it's just the employer wants the job done. It's a good question. Again, if it's a kal v'chomer, every eved. When you buy an Eved, you're locked in, but the Eved, if he returns the money, can walk away. So you see, even from the parasha of Avodim, that the relationship is not symmetrical. But the Yerushalmi actually says that it's both ways. Yerushalmi argues and says that the employer could also fire at will because of this argument. Machlokes Rav and Yochanan, according to the Yerushalmi. But it's actually what the Bavli holds. It is a good point. Oh, excellent, excellent. So based on this, Zog, the Ramah, and many others, the whole reason why you're allowed to quit is Kli B'nei Yisrael Avodim. That means you've worked so very hard, you've decided it's time to go back to Kollel, you quit, Avodaihem, that you have the right to do. But what happens if you're working for someone, you're going to continue the same job, but a competitor offered higher pay. So some Achroinim say, nothing doing. Either way, you're going to be an Eved. If either way you're going to be an Eved and you're just switching from one salary to the next, nothing doing. And you're locked in. No. If you don't have the right to back out, really there's a kinyan. The way they're looking at it is that really there's a kinyan. A kinyan is both parties are locked in. Now the Torah says, Kli Bnei Yisrael Avodim, if you want to retire, we'll let you do it. But if you're not retiring, and either way you're an Eved, you're back to the Kenyan. You're back to the locked into the Kenyan. You have no right to back out. In other words, what you're saying is, this depends on the Chakir that we had before. If you understand there's a Kenyan, but even though there's a Kenyan, the Torah says, there's like an Isser to be an Eved, we have to let you back out. So then, if either way you're going to be an Eved, then you have no right to back out. If we learn like the other side, if we learn that this is just a Gili Milsa, we learn from Kli Bnei Yisrael Avodim a fact that the relationship between employer-employee is such where the employer-employee is not locked in, it's not a king, it's not a shiva, then he can switch jobs at will, and it doesn't matter what he's doing. The Aruch HaShulchan, because of this argument, says you have every right to back out, and it's not a problem. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan adds there will be certain financial penalties in some cases. That also we'll have to get to in a future shiur because it's totally in Yada Yoyna, it's totally in the next sugya. But as far as if you want to back out, he says you will be able to. Now the Knesset Yecheskel also argues on this halacha, and he makes a beautiful point. He says like this: how we are explaining this shita that you can't back out? We're explaining that the whole reason why you're allowed to back out is Kli Bnei Yisrael Avodim. If either way you're going to be working, you're going to be an Eved either way, and you have no right to back out. Zok the Knesset Yecheskel. What do we mean when we say that working is avdus? Is there an Isser for a person to have a job? No. The Isser is not working there. The Isser is being stuck. So if you want to back out to get for a better job, the reason why it's not an eved is not, you can't say that I'm working anyway, I'm an eved. No, because that new job, when I get a better offer from him, I'm going to leave him and move to the next person. So the point is that it's only when I'm stuck there it's avdus. So the very fact that I can switch from one to the next because I get better pay, because I like the boss better, or because I'm just on a whim, that itself makes it that I'm not violating Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim, and therefore Zak the Knesset Zichaskol, he says, according to either understanding, you would have the right to back out. Now, at the end of the day, again, this is also something which is a machlokes. There's no clear hachra. If a worker wants to quit, he will be able to. In general, when there's a suffix, he is a muchzik on himself, although, again, also that's a discussion for later. But there will, as far as how much he has to be paid, if you owe him back pay, there will be cases where there'll be a certain penalty, yada al tachtayna, and that's something that we'll get to. Also, we'll have to address a little bit more in a future share. But now there's another very big exception to this rule. And that is, why is a worker allowed to back out? Because the pasuk says, Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim. And whatever the lomdus is, that teaches us a worker is not bound, he has the right to back out. Zok Tosfos, we had in the Maamar Koimus today, and most Rishonim seem to follow this approach. This applies only to a salaried worker. Someone who works from 9 to 5, so to a certain extent, he's an Eved. Or if he'd be locked in, he would be similar to an Eved. Every day, he has a Shibud, his time is not, he's not a free man anymore. Zok Tosfos, that's only by a Poel. If you have a Koblen, if you have an independent contractor, this doesn't apply. He's not an Eved. Now, the way the Sma explains it, the reason why a poil is considered an eved is because he's locked in at specific times. 9 o'clock in the morning, he has to show up to work. Such a person is Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim, and if he wants to quit, wants to resign, he has the right to do it. A koblin, if you hire someone to clean your suit, so is he your eved? Can you tell him when or how to do it? No. He does it at his own leisure. He wants to do it now. He'll do it now. He wants to do it later. He wants to go to the Beis Medrash for a couple of hours. He's a free man. He's his own boss. In such a case where he does the job when he wants, how he wants, according to his schedule, that has nothing to do with avdus. And therefore, if you hire a koblin, if you hire an independent contractor to do a job, there, according to Tosfos and according to many Rishonim, once there is a kinyan, he's locked in. He'll have no right to back out. It's only when he's a poyo, when he's on a salary, he's getting paid by the hour, there that's related to avdus, and there we have this escape, there we have this ability to back out whenever he wants.
Didn't you learn previously that if he stops in the middle of the job, he only has to pay for the part that he did and not for the rest?
You're talking about that Gemara, but that's not what it means. We'll discuss it more about Riches next week, but that's not what it means. That discussion there is, forget about later. Let's assume he's going to find another job. But the discussion is, how do I compensate him for the work that he did? And there's a discussion between a pilot and a goblin. Here we're discussing the other point. Does he have the right to quit? Does this escape of Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim apply? And here we're saying it applies to a pilot, not to a goblin. Oh, it's like this. If you look at the Achronim, there are two ways that they describe the difference. How do you define an independent contractor as opposed to a worker? So it's easy. One gets a 1099, the other one gets a W-2, right? So in Halacha, what do we look at? So there are two criteria that are mentioned. The Sma discusses whether he works a set schedule or he does it when he wants. If you hire him, he has to show up at 9 to 5, he's a poyo. If he sets his own schedule, he's a kabbal. The Shach, quoting the Trumas Adeshen, says we look at how he's getting paid. Is he getting paid by the hour, or is he getting paid by the job? Now, there are some very interesting, there are a lot of cases which can get a little bit sticky. For example, let's say the Chacham Shloimeh has a case, you hired someone to tutor your child an hour a day. But he chooses the hour. So is he a poyel or a kabbal? So according to the Sma, then the definition of a poyel is, he sets his, a poyel is he's like an eved, he has to work at a certain time. A kablin sets his own schedule. So in this case, l'chor, you're a kablin. Because you decide when you're going to work. On the other hand, according to the Shach, according to the Trumas Hadeshen, we look at how you're getting paid. Over here, you're getting paid, you're selling an hour of your life. That's what you're getting paid for. It's not to accomplish something. It's not to finish, to paint the house or to clean the suit. You're getting paid, you're selling an hour of your time. So while which hour may be up for, you know, maybe you may have the discretion to choose, but you're selling the hour, and therefore, according to the Shach's understanding, that would have a din of a poyel.
That the
poyel chooses, yeah. But still, since it's an hour, he's committing, he's selling an hour of his time, and he's getting paid by the hour, according to the Shach, that would have a din of a poyel.
That's what a doctor's appointment,
for example. Well, doctor's different. Because a doctor's appointment is the opposite case. When you pay a doctor, you're not paying for the time. There's a flat amount per appointment. Whether you're there for 60 seconds or 20 minutes, you're going to pay a flat amount, according to the Shach. Since you're not paying by the time, you're paying for the job. That would have a din of a kablin. On the other hand, he has to work a set time. You're hiring him. There's a 6 o'clock appointment. Now you may not get in, and he may not show up until 7. He may make you wait for an hour, but he's selling a specific amount. He's locked in to work at a very set time. So according to the Sma's understanding, it could be since he's forced to work at this moment, he would have a din of a pile. Correct. Well, Baltolin, both a poil and a kabbalin both have Baltolin. It's only different when there are goods involved, because when you a suit, there's no Baltolin until you give back the suit by a kabbalin. But in these cases, there will be no difference.
So the poil has to be flex schedule.
Exactly. Your flex schedule would be the same thing. According to the Sma, where it's a question of avdus, am I locked into a schedule? If you make your own hours, you would not have a din of a poil. According to the Shach, that we look at how you're getting paid by the job, the bottom line is you're getting paid per hour. You choose the hours. Now again, if you think about it, really it goes back to what we discussed before. The Sma is looking at it, that if I have to show up at a certain time, I'm like an Eved. So the Pshat is, it's the lack of flexibility is what makes me into an Eved, and that's what we'll look at. The Shach is really looking at in Lomdos what the nature of the Kenyan is. Am I selling my time or am I just selling the result? So therefore, even if I have the control, the bottom line is I'm getting paid by the hour, I'm selling my time, and according to the Shach, that has a din of avdus. Now where it gets really complicated is what happens when you go to a mechanic and you're hiring him to do a job, he's going to fix the transmission, but the amount that you're going to pay is per hour. So according to the Sma, there's nothing to talk about. Since he decides when he's going to work, clearly, it would have a din of a kablin. It would not have a din of a poyel. It's flexible. In the Shach, it's not so clear. Because the Shach says, we look at how he's getting paid. Over here, you're paying him for the job, but the way you calculate how much he's entitled to the job is going to figure out how much time he's spent. So there, it's a little bit less clear, is the ikar, I'm paying him for the hour, and just he has to finish the job, but I'm really hiring him for the hour, or we look at it, no. I'm paying him for the job, and the way we're going to calculate that's how he's going to arrive at the number. That will figure out how much time he spent on it. So that case is a little bit less clear. But be that as it may, in most cases, it's pretty straightforward. A poyel that has set hours has Kli B'nei Yisrael. He has the right to back out whenever he wants. A kablin who does not have set hours, is paid by the job, is going to be locked in and very often will not be able to back out. All right. Thank you. Enochami, right. In that case, it would clearly be a kablin. Right, that's clearly a kablin. Because you're paying him for the job, that's just an internal calculation. When you hire an attorney, for example, to take care of a litigation, so there also, you don't set his hours. You're paying him to complete the litigation, but he's going to bill you based on how long it took.
So then everybody agrees a kablin?
No, that you can clear, because you're paying him by the hour. So it's not... Right. In the mechanics case, where it's just based on a book, there everyone would agree he's a kablin.